But if compliance falls, you also can't accept the same level of results either. And that's okay. Like, I tore my Achilles in September. I lost $70,000 on an event. My mental health has suffered. My focus right now is not maintaining and building this physique. It's just surviving and getting through the day, right, knowing that at least I know how to eat relatively well. And if I feel like not eating well, I know nothing bad's gonna happen because I've got 25 years of habits built in. And this is where people need to understand the long game. The longer you spend riding those waves with confidence and accepting that they're gonna occur, the more confidence you're gonna have and the easier and more pleasant this process becomes. One of the hardest and probably long sought after questions and answers that we'll ever have in anything in this life is the idea of why can't we just do the things we know we have to do?
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Dieting from the Inside Out. I am here at the Real Coaches Summit live with Aram Grigorian. What's up, man? Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for allowing me to come up here and do this with you very creepily in your hotel room.
Right.
Thank you.
It's definitely different. I'm telling you, like, the trade-off of not nice studio, but it's an in-person interview is the best thing ever. So,
folks, this is very intimate.
Yeah, very intimate. Like, there are two unmade beds. Mm-hmm. Right here.
And just two men just staring at each
that's
other.
That's right. Across the table, like looking at each other's eyes. Fucking A. Oh, that's awesome. Well, dude, so update us since last time we chat. Anything new going on in the life of Aram that since we chatted last?
Just been diving into like the emotional piece of what's going on with a lot of my clients and just realizing that like all the macros and calories and all the technical jargon that we know as coaches doesn't really apply to most people. And I think I'm just realizing how much science I know and how much it doesn't really end up pertaining to the individual who needs the help. Because at the end of the day, it just comes down to habit-based stuff. Like it just comes down to these simple basics of like, can you get three, four square meals in a day? Where are you failing? What problems are you actually having? And what proof do you even have that you have a problem? Because I think a lot of people are convinced like they're doing something wrong.
Right.
Like, I'm not eating well. Well, relative to what?
What's that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm not healthy. Okay, well, what does that mean? Or I want to be fit. Well, what does that mean? So I'm just starting to challenge my clients a lot more and challenging the conversations that I have even with people on Instagram. Like, you're asking me for advice, which I have no problem giving you for free constantly, but ask me more relevant questions. Like, understand where you're actually trying to go with this. And I don't think a lot of people do that level of thinking.
Oh, I think there's a level of specificity that's needed to get any level of clarity. You know what I mean? Well, when someone's like, well, I eat well. Well, like if you actually have a piece of content, I want to do street interviews where I go like downtown somewhere and go, what's eating healthy mean? Because some people will go a vegan, right, but some people will go no sugar.
Right.
I don't care. I'll eat whatever I want, but I just can't have sugar. Or some people say gluten-free, where I think we need to have a level of specificity to have any level of clarity. You know what I mean?
And it's hard because you can't standardize eating.
Right.
There's no standard eating diet pattern that you should follow.
Sure, sure.
I mean, in general, if you were going to give any absolutes when it comes to this industry, maybe you say eat mostly things that are real.
Right.
Eat things that are a little bit more fun and things that you know probably aren't the ones that you should be eating constantly, a little bit more intermittently.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a post coming up that's saying you've tried intermittent fasting. Why don't you try intermittently eating like shit? So it's like challenging this belief system that like you have to eat clean constantly, because that's going to look different. Like eating clean to one of the bodybuilders that are downstairs right now enjoying this conference,
right,
is way different than me making sure that there's plenty of protein and vegetable options at the lunches. But even that's not good enough for a guy who's a bodybuilder, right? But the lunches that I have today might be the most vegetables and the most protein your average person's ever seen on a plate before.
Sure.
So like that spectrum has to be understood.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is where like balance is on a sliding scale and every person's progress is on a sliding scale. Like people say, well, how much protein do I need in a day? Let's say something as basic as that, but like the formula answer, but then is one thing, but then what if you're miles from that? If someone's eating, like I was talking to someone the other day who was eating probably, I did the math in my head. They just told me what they ate, probably 30 grams of protein in a day.
Wow.
Next to nothing. But they're like, well, this formula says I need like 150. I'm like, you probably do need 150. But if you went in a singular moment from 30 grams to 150, one, there's no way that's practical. It would be a digestive nightmare. You would be distended out to here. You would feel like shit. So to say that person needs 150, that's even more nuanced. It's like nutrition coaching is more nuanced. They need to go from 20 or 30 grams. I would take them probably 50.
Yeah.
If they could do that for several weeks or even like the next month or so, let's go to 75. Then like titrate it slowly. But even like, but that's nuance. There's just, that's my issue with like so many of the standardized even formulas. It's, well, there's a journey to get there, you know?
Yeah, and what is the food actually doing for you? Because I think people, we have to understand what food actually is. Food isn't just fuel as much as we want to simplify and say that's what it is. Sure, if you're somebody who's super disciplined, been doing this for 10 years, you know everything there is to know about nutrition, you have a very specific physical, because that's typically what it's going to relate to. But if you're just your average person looking to be a little bit healthier, whatever that means for you, maybe lose a little bit of body fat, maybe increase visible muscle mass to make it look like you're somebody who works out, I don't think you have to turn over all these rocks and search for all these different scenarios where at the end of the day, you're probably missing consistency. You're probably missing a systematic approach to actually eating, as opposed to like, well, sometimes it's fun and I know how to control that fun food. And sometimes, or most of the time, really, it's meant to keep me alive and keep me feeling good and increase my quality of life. But I know that every time I make a poorer choice, it comes with a consequence that I'm either willing to pay or I'm misunderstanding.
Mm, yeah. Well, that's one of the things I was wanting to ask you. I didn't have very much of a specific agenda with this conversation, just because I know how our conversations go. But one thing I was wanting to hear your take on is, where does someone, like the average client or the average like 45-year-old Mrs. Jones, balance this act of, okay, I know I need to have these habits that change. I know I need to eat less, move more, do the right habits, but I've also got kids, a husband, date night, travel, like all the things. So for you, when teaching this stuff, where does someone find that line of actions meet ambition, of goal attainment and the habits that go with it, but also living their life and enjoying themselves and things like that?
So I think the reality is, Jared, you're going to be a little out of balance before you find that balance.
I would agree with
that. That's kind of like, it's hard to say like, okay, cool, I'm on this journey, right? Like with the event, that cost me X amount of dollars. Well, I can't just go from knowing that this is how much money I had to spend on it to this is how I'm going to make all this money back. Like there's going to be a journey and it's going to be uncomfortable for some short period of time, or it could be even a longer period of time, but I have to accept that that is what it is. I think a lot of people are misunderstanding the timeline based on where they've been or where they're starting. So a lot of people have this idea where if I diet, I'll drop weight quickly. Yeah, you will. But then how are you going to get back to like reacclimating, like you said, to some level of balance? So it might be out of balance for a while where you're building these systems and you're finding something that's reliable and consistent for yourself. And then at some point, like it's taken me personally 25 years to find balance. I don't have any emotional attachment to food. I can have great meals or bad meals. It doesn't really make a difference. I can label food good or bad with no emotional attachment. But again, I started eating a certain way at 15, and at 40, I've never stopped. Most people that we're getting are starting at 45.
That's good, yeah.
And it's true. Scary because now it's like, well, you're having an undue 30 years of conditioning. Like it's not gonna happen overnight. So you have to just accept that I may be out of balance for some time and it's gonna be a rocky road, but this is, once I'm clear of it, now I have this level of freedom for the rest of my life.
How do you teach that with a client?
I don't think you teach it. I think you just consistently communicate it and you support them through it. Because the reality is they have to learn themselves. Like I can't teach you how to implement this stuff into your lifestyle. I can give you best practices. I can give you scenarios and anecdotes of what other people have done. I can tell you what I do. But until you find the thing that works for you, it's just, hey, how you doing this week? How'd this week go? What was the struggle this week? What are you planning on doing next week about that struggle? Like it's just having to just have these conversations. That's why coaching has to be a personal thing. We can't just keep handing out these protocols to people and expecting them to succeed.
I think people forget too, there's no perfect system either. No. Like one thing my brain operates in jujitsu analogies, right? And one of the things my professor says is there's no perfect move. Otherwise everyone would do it and go win world championships. Every move has a counter to the move and every move has holes in it. There's no like position I can put you in or somewhere you could put me in that the other person's, like it's 100-0.
It's not checkmate.
Right. Like even the gun, like you move out of the way of the barrel and like, okay, the gun's worthless now. It's the same thing. But I think people, especially in a coaching dynamic, it's like, yes, there's best practices or a strategy for this or a tactic for that. But just like you said, it's how'd the last 7 days go. Okay. Based on that, here's the next logical step. Reevaluate 7 days later. How'd this past week go? What's the next logical step? But I think for a lot of people, there's not a lot of like, I can't see the next mile and a half in front of me, but I've heard the best comparison, I think, with this game of transformation is it's almost like driving to vacation at night. All you can see is the 50 feet in front of you, of your headlights, but the car's moving forward.
Yeah.
You don't have to see the next mile and a half in front of you, but you have to almost like, there has to be that level of trust and faith that it's going to work out the way it's supposed to.
It's an unpredictable thing. And I think the reality is life's going to throw its obstacles at you constantly. There's never going to be a perfect month. I've been in this business now since 2019 online. I have yet to coach somebody who's had four consecutive weeks of no problems. Not once. And I've had thousands of clients at this point. So that's, if that doesn't speak to the variability and the unpredictability of life and your ability to then accept and adapt and adjust to that, you're always going to be chasing your tail and being disappointed that you're not getting to where you want to go. When in reality, like, you have to be able to just like back up, like zoom out. Where am I right now relative to where I was 6 months ago? Am I better off? Good. I'm on the right track. Am I worse off? No. Am I neutral? Yeah, that's a win too. Like, we're sitting in a casino right now. What do most people say at casinos? If I break even, I won. Mm. Like, most people don't value maintaining their weight. Like, they always chase that weight loss, but they never value, like, I've been able to lose 20 and keep 20 off. Great. Most of Americans don't keep 20 off. They regain 45.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. We have this conversation a lot with clients when, whether they have metabolic damage or they come to us and they're like, 1200 calories, can't lose any weight. And they're actually legitimately eating that little. And we reverse diet someone the right way or bring back their calories or get them to go from working out 7 days a week to 4 days a week to balance things out, and nothing bad happens. But some people will go, I didn't lose any weight. Something's wrong. I'm like, I just doubled your calorie intake and you didn't gain any body fat. That's like a reverse raise. Like, your boss at work says, I'm going to cut your hours in half, but keep your pay the same.
Yeah.
That's like a raise on its ass or on its head, you know?
I would take that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, dude, I'm going to cut your effort in half, but I'm going to keep your compensation the same, for sure. But I think people forget, in this game, it's not linear. It's not this whatever. But I think a lot of people have that almost paradigm of, if I am not losing weight every single week linearly, something is horrendously wrong.
But where else is that true in life? Like, where else are you getting linear weekly progress or improvement? Like, I've never seen that in anything.
In their brain of like, here's how it should be in some alter reality. Right.
But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen with raising your children. It doesn't happen with developing your career. It doesn't happen with fostering good relationships. Like, there's going to be bumps in the road. But everybody has this thing where they freak out when something bad happens. And I think that just speaks to the level of stress intolerance that exists in today's world. Like, we just aren't as hard anymore. And we are very reactive versus being proactive. And I think when I start coaching my clients, I tell them right off the bat, your number one priority is to communicate with me.
Yeah. So
I want you to communicate with me and me not have to chase you when things are going on. Right. If you're going on vacation, let me know about it before you go on vacation. If you're sick, let me know about it as you get sick. If you and your daughter are in a fight and you're stressed out, I know it's not something you probably want to be proud of sharing, but at least let me know, because if that's a barrier to your habits, I want to at least know about it, because then you and I can strategize. What is this week going to look like based on these circumstances? Because it could be completely, you might have had an amazing week last week, nailed all your macros and calories, had your 5 training sessions, went to bed at 9. And then this week, dog's at the vet, daughter's sick, husband wants to go out to dinner twice for work events. So now you have to juggle 3 different things that you didn't have last week. So you can't expect to have the same level of compliance this week. Mm-hmm. But if compliance falls, you also can't accept the same level of results either.
Right.
And that's okay. Like, you're not always going to, like, I tore my Achilles in September. I lost $70,000 on an event. My mental health has suffered. My focus right now is not maintaining and building this physique. It's just surviving and getting through the day, right, knowing that at least I know how to eat relatively well. And if I feel like not eating well, I know nothing bad's going to happen, because I've got 25 years of habits built in. And this is where people need to understand the long game. The longer you spend riding those waves with confidence and accepting that they're going to occur, the more confidence you're going to have and the easier and more pleasant this process becomes.
Sure, completely. I think it's one of those things that just, I see this happen a lot with a lot of the conversations I have, especially with like newer clients too, whereas I think half the reason people have these freakout sessions is because they enable it to continue happening. I've been on this kick lately where I've been saying, you cannot enable chaos, but find peace, right? We refine what we enable, but too often in weight loss, we almost act like, or people act like, it's almost like emergency room level freakouts. Yeah. And it's like, nah, bro, there's no such thing as a fat loss emergency. You could eat like a fucking degenerate for the next 2 weeks and you take a picture, you'll look the exact same.
Most
people, like, yeah, you're that's why people go on vacation, they come back and they look the same.
Yeah.
Scale might be a little fluctuate, of course, but otherwise it's not like you gained 40 pounds in 2 weeks. It's not how it works. But that's why I think people enable, though, their own bad behavior of they step on the scale and they allow themselves to have a freak out moment where it's like, no, you're choosing to fall off. You're choosing to say, fuck this shit, I'm done. Versus if someone said, hey, if you freak out, we're gonna drain your bank account.
Right.
All of a sudden, all the self-control would come here that quick. Well, why do you have to wait till a threat is made to have that level of accountability and ownership? You see?
One of the hardest and probably long sought after questions and answers that we'll ever have in anything in this life is the idea of why can't we just do the things we know we have to do? Because nobody, I don't want to say nobody, most of the people that follow our content, they probably have the basics figured out. They know that they should be eating protein most of the time. They know they should be eating vegetables and fruit. They know they should be strength training, walking, like they know all the basics. So then the question becomes, why aren't you doing the things you know you have to do? Is it a choice? Because 99 out of 100 times, it's got to be a choice. Mm. I've yet to see food rocket ship its way off a table and into your mouth. Lord knows there's stuff that's very tempting for me too. Like today, like we had those desserts at lunchtime. And those desserts were delicious, but they're tiny. And you can portion control them. And you can get four of them, split them all in half with somebody else, and enjoy them. But people have this idea where it's like, it's almost like scarcity. Like, I'm never going to see this again. I'm never going to get pizza again. I have to drink all the booze tonight or else it's never going to be here. Well, then you have to accept feeling like shit. Mm-hmm. You have to accept that that is the consequence. Like when I binge drink on Tuesday night coming up tomorrow, I'm going to feel like shit on Wednesday. But I'm not going to wake up with any illusions being like, well, I don't understand.
Why this happened?
Like it's because I stayed out till five and I was treating myself like an amusement park.
Yeah.
So if you eat like that every single weekend after having three or four good days, which is what most people's dieting attempts look like, what do you expect to happen? Yeah. Like you just went from eating 12 or 1500 calories, which is your diet calories, to eating 3000 plus 3 days in a row,
sure,
which is net positive surplus over the course of a week. You can't wonder why you're not losing weight.
Right. Well, I think there's a couple levels of that. I think it's like absolutely everything you just said. But then I think a lot of people, like from a psychological standpoint, is their plan is enabling that to happen. If you go from eating like a complete asshole, like fuck it Friday all the way through Saturday, who cares, start over Monday, and then Monday starts with 1200 calories, no sugar, only kale and fucking handfuls of almonds and gum. You do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you have these, let's say a cookie craving comes on Tuesday, instead of having the two fucking Oreos, when you go, Oreos sound good. Two Oreos is like 200 calories, right? This is 200-300 calories. It's nothing. But instead of saying, you know what? I'm going to have just two Oreos and have self-control and have discipline and make sure my relationship with food is good. They go, I don't need it. And then that two craving becomes like on a scale of 1 to 10 is now a 5 by Thursday. That 5, they go, no, I'm still being good. I don't deserve it yet. And then it's a 9 out of 10 where you're now tempted to take it from children. Then Friday comes around. You go, you know what? I'm not supposed to have this. Fuck it. I already screwed up.
Yeah.
And then because Monday starts restriction again, they go, I don't know when the next I'm going to have Oreos. And then they say they eat the whole pack. But then this becomes a weekly holiday where this is why we need to overhaul belief systems. We need to overhaul actions. And then we also need to overhaul ownership.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what we talked about. I think that's the majority of what we talked about last time you were on the show, was it was radical ownership over your stuff.
And is that ever really going to change, man? I mean, we're going to have this podcast another 500 times. But the thing is our clients, our audience will receive this message at their own pace. Mm. Not everybody's going to get what we're talking about today. Maybe they're not ready to hear it.
Right.
At some point, they have to get to a breaking point where they're like, okay, I know something needs, I'm at a critical point in my life where I don't feel good. It's affecting my quality of life. It's affecting my relationships, my mood, my energy systems. And I'm not going to tolerate this anymore.
Right.
So it's amazing how much people will tolerate discomfort when it's self-imposed. When somebody else comes around and says, hey, like, you know, let's say your buddy was a heroin addict or an alcoholic. Like, you wouldn't be like being like, oh yeah, here's another drink, or let's go down to the store and get, or let's go down to the corner and get another bag. Like, I want to make sure that you're okay. Like, no, you're gonna be like, dude, like you're gonna kill yourself at some point if you keep doing this. But we enable food because it's completely okay. It's okay to eat whatever you want, whenever you want it, because if you don't, that's disordered. Mm. And that actually is almost offensive to people who have eating disorders.
Sure, sure.
Because if you have true binge eating disorders, you black out for minutes on end, not knowing what you even ate, because you're so stressed out and it triggers this response in your brain that it makes you not even remember what you even did. So you overeating because you can't control that want of of tasting that food, which of course, like I love Oreos. I love Stacy's pita chips. I love candy and cookies. Like that stuff is meant for you to overconsume. But if you continuously introduce yourself to that stuff and keep it around and tempt yourself all the time, what do you think is going to happen when you're tired, stressed out, underfed, overwhelmed? That's comfort. It always will be.
Sure. Hyperpalatable, the works. This is why I think people forget. This is my biggest issue when people like wave their all or nothing or perfectionist flag or the extremism flags is like this whole conversation has been about nuance and dynamicness. I think everyone wants to get into dieting and weight loss and they go, here is it. Here's my plan. I can just live for the next like 8 months or whatever and nothing's going to change. And it's like, but that's, then there's perfectionism in it. There's all or nothing in it. There's like, no, bro, you're probably a soccer mom that has a job full time. You're taking kids to dance while the others at soccer practice and trying to keep the husband happy and keep your house together. You're going to have nuance and dynamicness to this. Just like driving a car, we get detours, we get accidents, we have fender benders. Well, we have to be able to acclimate and go, oh shit, being present in what's in front of us and address it and handle it, then moving on. You know?
Yeah. And I posed a question to my audience the other day on my Instagram page and I asked them, I said, if you could diet for 12 months straight with six free meals, and at the end of that 12 months, you had the body of your dreams, would you be able to do it? Or would you do it? And the amount of people that said, yes, they would do it was alarming to me. I'm like, there's no way.
I call bullshit. No.
Yeah. 100%. That's like, we're professionals at this. There's a 0% chance that you've made, even if you put a monetary value to it. If you said diet for 12 months straight with six free meals and you get the body of your dreams and you get $1 million in cash, it sounds great on paper. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll do it. 0% chance I can do it because I know myself. I want to go have a beer. I want to go have a burger. Like I'm not going to sit there and restrict myself constantly just to chase some physique that literally nobody else on the planet gives a shit about, but you do. And that's the thing is like, most of the people that are having these problems aren't 500 pounds. That's an easy client. You give me the person who's got 200 pounds to lose. Easy, easy peasy.
That is the one where you can make one change and they're good for like fucking 15 months. Good.
The toughest client is your woman, 130 to 180. And she's sitting in that limbo and she's comparing herself to all of her friends that might be in better shape than she is physically, aesthetically. She's been beating herself up about the number on the scale. She's got no concept of what muscle mass versus fat mass looks like. And there's just constant reinforcement in social media and media that you're supposed to be a certain size, but then your butt should be bigger. But then no, your biceps can't be as big as your butt and your shoulders have to be bigger than your butt. Like there's so many rules that are like, at the end of the day, like you're a mother of three. Do you think your kids are going to benefit from you killing yourself in the gym 7 days a week when you don't have to? Like commit to at least something you can do. And commit to something that you can actually be proud of that'll enhance your quality of life. Like, are you actually feeling better on a daily basis? Or is what you're doing making you feel worse?
Right. I think it's funny. I've had a lot of conversations after doing so much inner work with people or having them do inner work. They find out they don't even want the goals that they wanted. They have the goals because of they're worried what no name down at the pool is going to think about them. Like they actually are okay with how they look and how they feel. But you know, mom, who was a Weight Watchers mom, and has always been a Weight Watchers mom, is the one saying you shouldn't weigh that much. Like I've had so many conversations like just this past couple of weeks of people saying, well, I shouldn't weigh what I weigh. It goes, says who?
Yeah.
I go, one of the most profound statements a coaching friend of mine said, and I've been stealing it ever since, is your dream body is going to weigh more than what you think it does.
Of course.
But always. Like it's, well, back in high school, I was 130 pounds. I go, back in high school, you did three or four sports. You were poor. And so you couldn't hardly eat. And you could got a waitress job where you're on your feet 12 hours a day. Yeah, sure as shit. You weighed 130 pounds. And I would argue most people, I'm going to try to say this as politically correct as possible. I have a conversation with that a lot. And I go, yeah, but you also had an eating disorder in high school. So
right.
Why are we putting our standard? It's like when I see someone who'll do a bodybuilding or a physique show. Like if you want to bodybuild, more power to you, but don't tell me that's sustainable and don't tell me that is your baseline. You flexing on stage for 10 minutes as a baseline. Like I've had real like body dysmorphic conversations with people who are like, well, this bodybuilding show, I look like this and I have to look like that. I go, you can't do that. Like that's not like unless you want a bodybuilding prep 24/7 every day, which is not healthy. You'll burn out. You'll literally destroy your metabolism, your hormones, your muscle tissue. You'll destroy everything. So even if you had the somehow grit and fortitude to do that, your body would shut the fuck down.
It has to, because at some point you're just not feeding it properly. You're not giving it the inputs it needs to thrive. And I think if you ask any reasonable bodybuilder or any reasonable person who understands nutrition and habit-based thinking, they're going to tell you that don't do what I'm doing.
Right.
I don't, like, I mean, there's two bodybuilders downstairs, and I'm sure if you brought them up here and you asked them, like, would you recommend this lifestyle to somebody else?
I don't know.
Like, no, of course not. Like, why the fuck do you want to travel with all your Tupperware containers frozen, ready to go? Do you want to not be able to have a meal down at the cafeteria because they're serving something that's not on your plan? Are you just, that's how rigidly you want to live? And like, the reality is what's the light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah.
Like, it's not really that great. Like, anybody that's ever had a low enough body fat percentage or visible abs will always tell you it wasn't worth it. Like, it's just not worth it. The people that are so obsessed with how they look to other people are the most miserable people. Mm-hmm. I was 7% body fat and 175 pounds when I was 31 years old. And all I cared about was, how do I look to other women? Like, mm-hmm. the women think that I'm hot. And nobody was like, overwhelmingly, yes, like, this is what I need.
Now dad bods are trendy.
Well, I mean, dude, fast forward, I'm 40 now and I'm 40 pounds heavier and I feel better and I still look good and I still feel good. And I don't care about the attention anymore. I just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But so many people are told that this is your worth, this is your value. Like, I'm more than just shoulders and delts and abs and glutes. Like, you are just such a more well-rounded, but that's, you're basically pulling out any fulfillment or any individuality the second you start to try to fit that mold. Mm.
Well, I mean, I think the fact that that you said just now is you're more than all these things, but the moment we attach our identity to, or bring a scale into our identity, like, oh, my identity is I should weigh this or this, whatever. I even think like there's levels of like people when they have their career tied to their diet or their role is like at home, like I'm a parent. Well, this is when people have midlife crisis because, well, the scale fluctuates. That means if your identity is I should weigh 132 pounds. Well, every time it fluctuates, which we know a healthy body does, sure. You have an identity crisis. Or this is why people who go, I'm a nurse or whatever job, they retire. They have an identity crisis. Or I'm mom. Like, I don't have an identity of myself anymore. I'm a mom. Kids are 18. They go to college and move out. Identity crisis. And they have it because they don't know who they are. And I think when your entire identity is made up in, I should weigh like this, I should look like this. Don't get me wrong. I think it's important to say, if you have standards, you go, I would like to look better, feel better. I think there's a level that's
nothing
important.
Wrong with that.
But to say, like, when someone says, I should weigh 132 and a half pounds, like, how you feel about, yeah, right. And like, I know, like, when someone gets really hyper specific, no, I should only weigh 100. I'm 137. I should weigh 131. No. There's a difference between go, I weigh 180, 195, like in 100 or 130, 140. Like, okay, you can compare those, like, say, sure. Okay, that's different. But to say I'm a different person at 131 and my life is drastically different at 137. No, I could drink a bottle of water and not take a shit and have a 7-pound fluctuation. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think the identity conversation is probably the one that people don't want to have because it makes them have to look deep.
That's the hard shit.
It makes them have to like really look in the mirror and be like, well, who am I? What do I want? Have I just been coasting through life with no understanding of myself? And a lot of people don't spend that time, man. It's sad.
And like, they have been.
Like, I'm 40 years old and I say that because what I've learned in the last 5 years will trump what I learned in the first 15. Mm. Like, I've been several different people that I was not proud of throughout my life. And people have this idea that like, I'm 40 and that's it. Like, I'm 45, I don't need to learn or do anything different. I don't need any self-development. But self-development isn't physique. Self-development isn't weight, isn't a body type or a body image. Self-development is like, are you curious about life? What are the skills that you have or don't have? What makes you happy? Who makes you happy? What types of things do you want to actually do and fill your cup? And most people don't stop and take that inventory. So they just keep being reinforced by all the shit that they see. When they're miserable at night, not feeling good about themselves, they're spending all this time scrolling through social media, comparing themselves to people that they'll never be able to look like because they don't have those circumstances. You're not a 27-year-old influencer who does this for a living. You are somebody who has a history of poor eating habits and an eating disorder and a poor relationship with food. So it's unfair for yourself to hold yourself to these unrealistic standards. I have no problem with high standards, but they have to be appropriately high to that individual. Like, I will never, yep. I know for myself, again, $1 million, I would not bodybuild. I just wouldn't do it. Again, I want balance. I want my life to be able, if I want to hop on a plane and go to Vegas and have a burger at the place that's famous for burgers, why wouldn't I want to do that?
Right. Well, I think this is, I think there's two things that is really important that you just said. You basically said action has to equal ambition. I think there's a lot of people that have any ambition, but their action doesn't equal it and they have an expectation problem. But then I think along those lines, like there's nothing wrong at all having high standards. Like if you have, we'll call it a grade system, A plus standards. But if you're a C student, you'll never get, you know what I mean? Like imagine a student who shows up late to class, doesn't turn their homework and they're barely passing with a C, but they're like, no, hey mom, how do I be an A? She's going to say, you have to become an A level student. You have to do the things A level students. You have to turn in your homework. You have to work hard, study, do all that. But a lot of people in the world of transformation, if we do a hard self audit, they have A plus level goals and standards, but they are a D student at best. Like I had someone ask me, they go, Jared, I did the math. I'm consistent four out of every 10 days. I'm 40% compliant. What kind of results can I expect? And I said, not a fucking thing.
Yeah, not one.
Like not to be a dick, but not a single thing.
Yeah, not one.
You know?
I have all my clients use a whiteboard calendar on the refrigerator and I have them mark a blue check if they hit their nutrition parameters. And I give people targets. Like you have 90 and 110% compliance. So you have a 20% margin of error.
Which is good. That's good. That's not like
you can overeat or undereat.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's awesome.
And then you give yourself a green check if you nailed your workout that day. And if you didn't do either one, you give yourself a red X. So your board can either look like one check every single day. So I nailed nutrition, but I didn't nail workouts. But I nailed workouts. I've looked at my own calendar, and over the last 3 months, there's probably been 9 or 10 days out of 30 that I've hit my nutrition. Mm. I don't expect to look any better. I could expect to be exactly the same or even slightly worse. So if I wanted to go into April or the rest of March and say, okay, I don't like the way that I look, I can't just magically say, I don't like the way I look and it's just gonna change. I have to now take the level of compliance I'm currently, and this is where like I think metric tracking, the way that I'm doing it is different. Like, yeah, do I care about the weight? Yeah, sure. I don't personally, not for myself, for my clients. But I wanna know, when that individual steps on the scale, are they no longer afraid of the number? Like that to me is a bigger metric of progress than anything else. When you walk into a gym and you used to have the jitters or anxiety, are you now confident going into the weight section because you know what you're doing? When you go on vacation, do you know how to build plates and be able to say, if I feel like working out, I'm going to. If I don't, nothing bad's gonna happen. Like I just had a woman that I've been working with for about 4 months now, and she just finished the marathon, went on vacation for 3 weeks, like dream trip to Bali with her husband. And she was so nervous about going, and we had four conversations leading up to her going. And then finally she's like, I'm gonna commit to eating 2 out of 3 meals a day like I would at home, and have one meal a day when I'm on vacation that's gonna be the local food that I can enjoy. And I'm gonna try to get 1 or 2 training sessions every 3 or 4 days while I'm gone. I'm like, that's great. That's reasonable. You're not pushing yourself. You're not setting high standards. You're still allowing yourself to be present and not worried about it. She came back net flat on the scale, tired because of all the different flights and all the red eyes. But she's like, I've never felt more confident on vacation. It was all because I stopped worrying about having to please somebody else. Mm. And it's just so important because it's typically women that are battling with this stuff, because I work with mostly women. Like guys don't give a shit. Like again, you said dad bod's popular again, which I think we should have a higher standard for that as well.
Sure.
But at the
we don't want to swing the pendulum from one side all the way to the other.
No, you know? I mean, like that's where like the whole like happy at any size. Sure, but I mean, you could be happy at any size, but are you metabolically unhealthy? Mm-hmm. Are you going to develop type 2 diabetes, right, or cardiovascular risk at your size? So I have no problem with you being confident. I wish everybody had the Lizzo confidence.
Yeah, right.
Like I want everybody on the planet to have Lizzo confidence. Mm-hmm. But then take that confidence and apply it productively to something.
Yeah, for sure. No, I completely agree with that. And I think it's the big thing, like the underlying tone of this part of the conversation is half of the goals and things that you're talking about are all intrinsic. I don't think there's not a damn thing wrong with extrinsic goals. I don't want to be taken out of context where like, it's awesome if you want to just look better and you want to like, if you want to move more weight, you want to be in a smaller size, that's all great. But I feel like you should at least have a 1-to-1 ratio of extrinsic to intrinsic. If you are only extrinsic, you're like, I only want to fit in these clothes. I only want to be a size smaller. I only want to weigh less. Okay, but how do you want to feel? How do you want your mental well-being to be? How do you want to experience life? Because I see so many people, because the intrinsic stuff isn't in order, they are now held captive by the one thing they thought they wanted. They go, I want to lose weight. Like I ask this on so many calls I have with people. with people usually applying for coaching, they'll get to their, they don't know how to keep the weight off once they lose it and they're scared shitless to eat more. I go, how many times have you ever lost the weight? Then as soon as it came off, you're now petrified that it'll come back and you live in mental prison because you're now scared to eat. You're scared to do anything. And they're like, every time I lose weight, like, so let me get this straight. You have these things you want because you think your life will be better. Then once you get them, now your life is even worse because now you're mentally incarcerated. Versus we have to have intrinsic, and if we're going to have extrinsic, we have to have intrinsic goals and outcomes.
Yeah, and I think the more maturity you have towards this, and that's what it is. I think it's maturity. I think as you get more mature in this process, you realize that it's nice to have the aesthetic benefit. Like, don't get me wrong. I spent most of my life from mid-20s to mid-30s single and putting myself out there and trying to appeal to the opposite sex and pool parties and clubs and all this very showy types of environments. Now I'm home 90% of the time by myself with my two dogs. I'm standing in front of a computer. I'm on the phone with my clients. I'm physically active. I feel good. I have a great relationship with food. I don't have to worry about wanting to order a meal if I feel like ordering a meal. Most of my food is cooked at home by me because I like having that control. I just think people don't have systems in place. I think people are very, very misunderstanding of how long the process is going to take depending on where their starting point is. I think people have very unrealistic expectations based on what they're seeing in mass media. And I think they're just following the wrong advice. And then they're considering themselves failure when it wasn't their fault. You just took the wrong advice for the wrong person.
Sure.
So it's not your fault that you did that. You didn't know any better. But right. Now you can't unknow what you know. Mm. So what are you going to do next time?
Yeah. That's powerful, man. That's so good. And I think that's actually, I think, a really good spot to start to wrap things up because we both got to get downstairs in a few. Where can people find you that they like this? Where can they learn more about you?
4 weeks to the beach, baby.
Hey, let's go.
The number four, the number 2 weeks to the beach. I will answer all your DMs. I will get on the phone with you for free. If you have questions for me, please reach out. If you're a coach that's listening to this, Real Coaches Summit 2023.com.
That's right.
That's where we're at right now, although it's 2024.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, I pride myself on being practical and being available. Mm-hmm. And I may not always have all the answers, but I'll sure as shit spend the time to listen to at least what you have to say. And if there's something that resonates with you, I'll point you to somebody who I think will.
You may look all big and scary and have all sorts of tattoos and everything, but I think you're just a big softie that wants to help people.
I am.
You know.
I am. Unfortunately, I would like to actually be able to match this very hardened aesthetic. It's not.
Yeah. It's like harder you try, they're like,
I'm overcompensating.
I love it. Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you doing this. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Thank you.